is a happy day. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be happy than sad. Because I'm an ugly crier, just straight up. I love the imagery of that song. I know not everybody does, but for me, when heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, it just makes so much sense. When the God of the universe meets us here on this planet, it's so overwhelming, like a big, burly dog with a huge tongue just all over you. That's not that God's a dog, just that that overwhelmingness of when you fully comprehend that the God of the universe who created everything that we talked about last week, that set the stars in the sky that were billions of light years away, that same God, for whatever reason, desires an intimate and personal relationship with you and for me. If that's not overwhelming, let's have a conversation. So we're in the middle of a series, Chasing After a Big God, Above and Beyond, Chasing After a Big God. We're kind of in a cycle here at Living Christ Church where we're doing a series on the internal stuff. Let's deal with the junk and the soul. Now we're on an up series. Let's focus on the God of the universe and what he's saying, what he desires. And then we're going to do an out piece. What does that require of us? What is he asking for us to do? And so we're looking out. So it's in, up, out. And we're in that cycle. We're in the up right now. And this morning, I want to talk to you about, yeah, we're chasing after this big God, but he's also chasing after you. I don't know if you grew up and had one of those parents that seemed to know every single thing that was going on. Like you try to work out or navigate a map or a plan so that they don't find out. And you're in the midst of the plan, and they are better than the FBI, and they have squashed that plan before that plan even succeeds. One of my brothers used to say, "Mom has ESPN," and I'm like, "No, she has ESP." No, she has ESPN. The N is because she knows everything. You know that's a K, right? Never mind. She knows all, and I think. Sometimes we get this mindset, right, with that in mind, we kind of impart that to the God of the universe, because he does know everything, but then we kind of treat him like we do Santa Claus. He's making a list, he's checking it twice, he's going to find out who's naughty or nice, right? And I think sometimes we get stuck in that mantra that the only thing that God desires to do is to come after you and point out all your flaws. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that is not true. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in Psalm 139. And if you follow along with me, I hope you're able to see this correlation. But this concept of God coming after us just to make a list and check it twice, I really believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, is a faulty theology. See, God brings conviction with love. And the enemy brings guilt with shame and condemnation. Let me say that again. The God of the universe brings conviction with love. And the enemy of your soul brings condemnation with shame and guilt. Let's look at the Word of God this morning. Psalm 139. If you want to follow along up here or your pew Bible, it's page 609 is the start. And this is what it says. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. For the words are even on my tongue. How many times when you're a kid with a sibling or a friend and you go to say something, all of a sudden they start repeating you? They jump in. How'd you do? How's it going? Great. Just want to punch them in the face. The God of the universe knows literally everything that's about to come out of your mouth. He knows it all. He knows it before you even say it. That could be a scary thing. And then he hems you in behind and before. Let's look at this. So he's setting up, in this section, he's setting up two main thoughts in this passage, right? That God is omniscient. That he's all-knowing. I know you. I know you. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. I know where you live. Yo sé dónde tú vives, for the Spanish. I know where you live. Can't run, you can't hide. I'm there. And this concept that he's encircling you. A couple years ago, there was this thing going on. I saw it on YouTube and all this, where you would shadow people. They would be walking, and you'd try to walk up behind them and kind of get in rhythm and step with them so they can't see you, and you're just like right behind them. And the goal was to shadow them before they found out that you were there, and then right as they were about ready to find out you were there, you'd walk away and act like nothing happened. Literally, the God of the universe is shadowing you behind, in front, and on all sides. You cannot run. You cannot hide. That could be a scary thing. Let's keep going. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. We just heard this. If we took a rocket ship to the moon, he is there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Played hide and seek with God, guess who wins? It's going to be a short game. Can you imagine? All right, God, you're it. I'm going to go. Okay. And you're hiding. I see you. I see you. You ever played hide and seek with a kid before? This is the greatest thing in the world. You ever play hide and seek with a kid? No? Okay, you need to try this. You're missing out on life. Okay, Dad, I'm gonna go hide. You come find me. Okay, I'm hi, Dad. Or it's like this. You're playing hide and seek with the cat. I mean, they find like these spots, and right away you're like, "Oh, I don't know. Where's Timmy? Where's Timmy?" This is what it's like with the God of the universe. There is nowhere. There is no easel. There is no monitor. There's no hallway. The God of the universe knows exactly where you are. You ever walked into a place that's completely pitch black? And you're like running into random stuff and hitting you in the face. You ever gone spelunking before? In a cave? It's where you go into caves and you hike around inside. The blackness that overtakes you is immense. And the reality of the God of the universe is, it's his sight of you is better than night vision. Darkness as light to him. There is literally nowhere, where you can't run, where you can't hide, where the God of the universe doesn't see you. You are never alone. That settle for a second. You're never alone, ever. Let's keep going. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them fully well. My frame was not hidden from you when it was made in the secret place, when it was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. He knit you together in your inmost being. In Hebrew, the seat of the emotions wasn't the heart. It was the kidneys. The God of the universe has your back. He knows everything about you. Before you were even created, he knew who you were going to be. He secretly puts us together. Humans are this amazing, complex thing. A couple years ago, there was this pastor named Louis Giglio who's preaching on the greatness of the human and how amazing it was that what God did and how he put us together. And this microbiologist came up to him afterwards and said, listen, you're missing the best part. There's this thing called laminin. What's laminin? Laminin is the protein that holds all our cells together. It's literally the glue of your body. And you, okay, that's great. Just go home, look it up. So he Googles it, and this is the picture. What? This is the structure of laminin. When he knit you together in his mother's womb, in your mother's womb, when he knits all of creation, living organisms, this laminin holds them together. Before the foundation of the world, he was setting the stage for the greatest thing this world has ever seen, the God of the universe coming to die for you and for me. Literally, your body is a representation of what the God of the universe has done for your soul. If only, this is a great transition. God, you're awesome. You're great. You know everything about me. And then, boom. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. Wow. Tell me how you really feel, David. A lot of guys don't like, they like to stop right before this. A lot of preachers like to stop right before, because that's the warm, fuzzy part. And all of a sudden, now it's just gotten real. Follow the progression here. He's the God of the universe. He is not Santa Claus. He is big, and he loves you, and you can be real with him. David sets it up for us. Man, God, you're awesome. That's crazy. And then he literally pours out his soul. This is how I'm feeling right now. Maybe you woke up this morning, and this is how you're feeling. And it is okay. He's fleshes it all out to the God of the universe. This, not like I dislike them. I hate them. Not only do I hate them upon hating them. As much as you can hate somebody, I really hate them. And he pours his heart out to the God of the universe. If he is Santa Claus, if he's making a list and checking it twice, then David is not going to have this conversation with the God of the universe. He's not going to do it because there would be fear and non-trust. He is completely honest with the God of the universe, and he feels accepted. And then he wraps it up. Search me, O God, and know me. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. Completely laid bare. Completely getting it all out there and feeling comfortable enough in that completely awkward, real state. And he feels okay enough to go, God, check my heart, mind, and soul. And lead me in the place I need to be. This is how I'm feeling now, but lead me to the place I need to be. These are the truths I see. He is passionately chasing after you. He knows you completely. He will never leave you, ever, as much as you try. You can run, but you cannot hide. The farther you run, the faster he runs. As soon as you turn around, you are going to run smack into his chest. I know, by the way, you can be so honest with him, more honest than you can be with anybody else in the world. And he's big enough to take it. I was trying to figure out the best way to close this out. We're going to have the worship team come back up. And as they come, I've asked a good friend of mine, Maddie, to come and put this into feet for you. As she comes, as she shares her heart with you, I want you to sit and listen and reflect.
You know me better than I ever want to be known. You have seen the depths of my soul that I wish would have never been shown. You looking at me is like Clark Kent staring at Lois Lane. There is no illusion. With you, I can't play David Blaine and hide my heart with tricks of mastery. I can't even fool you with sweet words or flattery because you see me clearer than an image on an HD TV. My life is like an X-ray before you. All of creation adores you. So how is it that I have all of your attention? And before you respond, let me not forget to mention that although I keep biting that apple, you pursue me like it's your Steve Jobs. And all you ask me to do is soak up your love like a sponge, Bob. And while at times I hide in fear, your perception about me is quite clear. And though I can't see through my own tears, the difference is clear. You have clear eyes. Wow. I fail to comprehend that before I ever came to be, you made a vow to love me. And while your thoughts are high and lofty, you have placed eternity on the inside of me. So I ask you to search. See what I have going on beneath the surface. Not because you don't know, but because I need you to tear down the curtain that keeps my mind and heart from being certain, and I use as an excuse to keep buying the lies from that serpent merchant. You have so much to say about this life you've created, and since my formation, you have waited to whisper words of love that human lips have left unstated. You and I have been conjugated since the beginning of time, brought together by the work of my Son. I predestined us to be one even before you were born. You have carried the potential that created the galaxies, and though you don't have an earthly crown, you are majesty. And though physically you are weighed down by gravity, I created you to fly, and I am not afraid of the cavities in your soul. I see you as whole. So let go of your remote control and trust me. Don't listen to other voices, just me, because I know you. And I love you. So let me lead you in a way that is everlasting and give you faith, hope, and love that is surpassing all human understanding. So search me and know me. For it is your word that upholds me. I am your canvas, your good deed. And to complete this motion picture, you are all that I need.